Matthew chapter 26, we're in lesson 81 in the dispensational view of the book of Matthew. I know there's not that many chapters in the book of Matthew, but we're in lesson 81. And we left off last week in verse 17, but we're going to pick up reading in verse 14. Matthew 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, "What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you?" And they convened with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And they, which exceedingly sorrow, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he said unto the, and he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." Now we're picking up at verse 17, we're less than a day or so away from him going to the cross and dying. You know, so the Lord is preparing the 12 to saying, "Hey, I'm leaving. I've got a work to be done." And if you notice what we, last lesson, Jesus sold the Lord Jesus Christ for a price of a useless slave, as we looked at, Judas did. So the 30 pieces of silver, you can find that back over in Exodus, as we looked at last week. Exodus 21 tells you that. Then we also found out the fact that, you know, the 12 apostles was in that upper room, and we looked at the name Judas Iscariot. We broke it down and what it meant and what it's going to mean there. Judas is a type of the Antichrist in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he's also the type that's going over in a tribulation period. Matthew 17, as we just read, they're in the upper room now. Okay, they're up in the upper room and having supper. And he said, "Verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And what are their answer? What are they asking him? "Lord, is it I?" They want to know. So, you know, if sometimes you think about that, somebody's got a guilty conscience here. You know, like, "Hey, is it me? Is it me? Is it Lord? Is it me?" And the disciples say, didn't say, "Is it I?" There's only one didn't he? And that one didn't have a guilty conscience. And that one, we know, wasn't going to kill him or be the one that does it. Hold your finger there and go to John chapter 13. Hold your finger there and go to John chapter 13. And get John 18. John 13 and John 18. John 13 and John 18. John 13, 25. "He then lying on Jesus' breast, saying to him, Lord, who is it?" So you have one disciple laying there on the Lord Jesus Christ's chest saying, "Lord, who is it?" He didn't say, "Lord, is it I?" like the other ones did. Now, you know who he's talking about there, right? John, right? Okay, John. And John doesn't say, "Is it me?" He says, "Lord, who is it?" John is the only one of those guys who had a clear conscience of what's going on. And look at John 18, verse 15. You think about this right here, what we're getting ready to read. John 18, verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus and said, and so did other disciples. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. One disciple goes in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake with her that kept the door and brought in Peter. So here's a disciple walks in with the Lord Jesus Christ, but Peter didn't walk in. They didn't know Peter. But they knew John. And he goes on and says, saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of the man's disciples? And he said what? I am not. You know, that's weird, isn't it? You know, how many people deny the Lord Jesus Christ when it rubber meets the road? And Peter did just there. So there's John with Jesus Christ in the palace with the high priest while Peter's standing outside. Now, isn't Peter supposed to be a pillar of a church? Don't people follow Peter and what Peter says over and what they do, the Word of God and what Paul says? So, you know, you can find these things like this, like, man, I wouldn't want to follow that guy. But look, John stuck with the Lord Jesus Christ all the way. Even in John 19, you don't have to turn there, but you still have John 13, right? Mm-hmm. And John 19 says, John is standing at the foot of the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ's mother, and what did he say to her? What did he say to John? Here's my mother, don't. Yeah. So he is commending John to his own mother. That's how much he loved that man. In John 13:26, Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I dip it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of what? Simon. There wasn't but one apostle Christ told and revealed who was going to betray him, and it was John. You know, he didn't broadcast it. Hey, it's Judas. He had John at his breast, and he would say, here, he's the one I'm going to do this to. So in Matthew 26, verse 24. Matthew chapter 26, 24. You got to remember, the book of Matthew does not have anything to do with what the church, the body of Christ, is doing today. It's dealing with a kingdom that is prophesied over here when it's all said and done. So in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry is portraying the death of the cross, he's going to die, and he's looking for this time period over here. Matthew, he's the king. So he's going to be talking about a kingdom. Has that kingdom come yet? And there's nothing you and I can force it to happen. It's not coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and all this stuff that takes place. So that's what he's focused about. And John is a picture of a type of that tribulation saint right here, if you think about it, who have the Antichrist revealed to them and who are the true with the Lord at his face. So the Lord's got that little flock that he has over here. He's got them close and, you know, talking to them. He said, here's the Antichrist. You with me? And that little flock over here knows what he is. And what did they do? Do they join hands with that Antichrist? No. They run, don't they? They believe the word of God that they have, and God protects them that way. So in Matthew chapter 26, verse 24, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. Judas, by his own mouth, admitted it. So yes, it is you, Judas. And notice in verse 22 back there, he says, Lord, is it I? Notice what Judas said in verse 25. Master, is it I? And verse 49 down there, it talks about, let's see if verse 49. Forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and what? Kissed him. Judas Iscariot could never bring himself to call the Lord Jesus Christ Lord. And you think about this. There's people out there today won't call him Lord. They say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They won't call him Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he is. He's the glorified Lord and Savior today. Amen. He's not no low, meek, mild type of person on this earth. He is the glorified, risen Lord and Savior. That's how I look at him. John 13:13 says, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. So he's a Master and Lord. And that's how they wrote. But Judas, the only one of them who kept calling him, still Matthew chapter 26. Judas is the only one that kept calling him Master over and over. And the other ones called him Lord. Is it okay to say bow down to who the Lord Jesus Christ was? When it's all said and done, isn't he going to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings when it's all said and done? And every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess over here that he is Lord. You in your heart that trusted Christ Jesus today, that he died for your sins when buried and rose again, understand he is Lord. And Lord, reason why we call him Lord, he bought us with a price. That's why we call him Lord. He paid his blood for my sin debt, and therefore I don't have to pay for it, and I'm his. That's good news. If I don't say anything else today, you can go away here thinking, wow, you know, Christ died for my sins. He paid that payment for me, and I'm his. So I trust that. Judas could never bring himself to submit to Christ as Lord. And you see why? Because if you did line yourself up who Jesus Christ is Lord, wouldn't you submit to him and do what he says you'd do? Verse 26, Matthew 26:26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. And this is my blood of the what? New Testament. Not the Old Testament, a New Testament, of the New Testament, which is shed for, what's that next word? Many. Not all. Many for the remissions of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the what? Vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So he's offering them and we're going to look at this a little bit, but he said he's not going to drink or eat until he offers it new in where? The kingdom over here. Now the passage, this is the passage where the Lord institutes what we call and what the Apostle Paul later calls the Lord's Supper. Verse 26 says, as they were what?
Eating.
Jesus took bread. The time element involved, now this is where I need y'all focus a little bit, because now we're going to be Bible students. Okay, I got through preaching to you, now I'm going to teach you. That's what we do here, don't we? We teach the Word of God. And the time element involved in the passage here is debated by the people who believe that the Lord's Supper is really the Passover. I don't know if you've ever encountered that, but a lot of people says this is the Passover meal that he's having here. And they attempt to say it that they are eating the Passover together. Now, verse 17 back there says, now the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the what? They knew 2 days from right there we started in chapter 26, verse 2 says 2 days is the feast days. So in 2 days, the Passover is going to happen. So the disciples know this, so they want to know, hey, where are we going to prepare to eat a meal at? And it was a meal. He sends them and prepares a place, and they have the meal. Verse 20. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the what? Not the 11. Who? The 12. Nobody ever points out the fact that when they say the Lord's Supper is the Passover, was they sitting or standing there when it says?
Sitting.
Do you know when you eat the Passover meal?
Yeah.
Go there, Exodus. Hold your finger and go to Exodus 12. Exodus 12.
You got to have your staff in your hand and everything, right?
Yeah, your shoes on your feet. You got to be, you know, you're going to see in a minute why. There's a reason why they ate the Passover meal. Look at this. Say amen when you're there. Hallelujah. Okay, you're there. Okay. Look, Exodus chapter 12. If you take a note, you can write this down. But Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, it says, And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in what? Haste. It is the Lord's Passover. You know why they was like that? What did they put on the doorstep, or on the top of the door? What is happening that night for them to have the death angel to pass over them, and why would they be dressed? Think about it.
To leave Egypt.
They're going somewhere. They're not just going to sit there. When that death angel passed over and it killed all the firstborn, the next day Pharaoh said, get them out of here. So they're moving. That's why that Passover meal was important for the nation of Israel, and it's supposed to be a memorial for them all every year, this time of year, every year. You don't have the Passover meal. We don't celebrate the Passover, but what? Once a what? Year. And we're going to see this stuff here. But they ate, were they supposed to be sitting at tables if this is a Passover meal? So they were supposed to be standing in traveling clothes. And I got to thinking about this. If he's teaching him, and if they had paid one bit attention what the Lord Jesus Christ come to do, he come to die. That's why, you know, a certain time of year, the world sets a day aside when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, and they put all emphasis on this stuff. What can we buy? What can we get? That time, and what did he came to die. That's in my mind and my heart. That baby came to die. Period. So he's teaching them all through this, and it's that time. The train came down the track. He's going to die. And if he takes that blood, that New Testament, guess what they're supposed to do after he died and buried and rose again? Oh, woe is me. Where is the kingdom? They're supposed to have been ready if the prophetic program was still going. You with me? That Passover meant something to them. And later on, it meant something to us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We'll see this. That was the way they were supposed to eat the Passover. And why? Because they're going to be delivered at daylight. See, many of you know this, but the Passover, Jewish starts at 6 p.m. And it goes all the way over to 6 p.m. the next night. Well, I should do this. Maybe I should do this. You got that. And then you got the day. And then the start of the night is 6 p.m. Okay? Their time period is backwards. Ours usually start what? 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock midnight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 24 hours later. But theirs started at 6 p.m. The evening, the Bible says in Genesis, the evening and the morning is the first day. Not the morning and the night. See, the evening and the morning is the first day. So they're supposed to be ready to move in Exodus chapter 12. Back there, verse 21 and Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 21. And as they did eat. Now, what did verse 21 say? Verse 20 say. And now when the evening was come, he sat down with the what? So he's sitting down right here when the evening comes. Verse 21. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And verse 26 says, and as they were what? Eating. They were eating. That is a meal involved there. Verse 21, and as they did eat, and it says, you shall betray me. Now, how many disciples were there? How do you know that? You just read that, didn't you? That's 12. You know who was present at that meal?
Judas.
Come over to John and get Luke. Leave a bookmarker in Matthew because, you know, that's the study part. But John 13, Luke 22. You will find that Judas does not leave the company of the apostles and Christ until after the communion service, after the supper was instituted. I just want you to see this because, I'll get down there in a minute. John chapter 13, verse 30. He, Judas, that's what you're talking about, then having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was what? Night. You had 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. is evening. 9 p.m. to 12 is night.
I spell it right.
12 to 3 is the cock crows. Then 3 to 6 is the morning. Okay? That's how the night's divided up. So in the evening, they're eating. Where did it say about Judas leaves at what? Night. So he's gone out after he gets his belly full. Well, all of them's got their belly full by now, don't they? Okay? Look at Luke chapter 22. Verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you before what? Now, was it the Passover? Or was his desire to eat the Passover with them? So he does sit down, verse 16, for I say to you, I will not eat any more thereof until it is be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourself. That's where they had the bread, guys. And you break the bread and you send the bread. You don't do the little crackers, you know, people makes it convenient for everybody. You know, that's what all that's about, but this is what he's doing. They broke bread. You ever break bread with people? That means something, don't it? You go to somebody's house, you break bread with them. You know, verse 18. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. The fruit of the what? Now, I wonder what fruit that would be. If you did studies and go back, it's a grape. It's a cluster of grape. The Lord Jesus Christ would take a, grapes off the thing and squeeze them and fill a cup up. That's what they drank, because you couldn't drink anything that would make you loony. You know what I mean? You couldn't do that. And verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given unto you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this is a cup of the New Testament. Once again, not the Old Testament, but the what? In my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Judas was there at that supper. This means Judas took the so-called, there's religions out there that talks about the sacraments. Okay, and you take sacraments and you do all this stuff, and you got to break the bread and you got to drink the wine or whatever they take, and this is the blood. And then, you know, there's a group out there, honestly to God, says this is Christ's body and this is his blood. That's what it sure sounds like, but check this out. He's taken that Lord's Supper. He went out after he took that. He went out and betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Got paid off. Got paid. Felt bad about it. And went back and confessed his sins to the priest that he sold to. Then he gave back the money to get his sins taken care of. Because that's what they did. You know? And he went and still died and ended up where? His own place, didn't he? So, you know, you understand all that is a religious activity? To get people to give, to get people, you know what I mean? It's just not right. Just not right. But people will not study their Bible, will they? They will not believe the words of God, they believe a man. Because that man won't lie to them. That's what we all thought, right? Until you started looking at your Bible, and then you started believing the Word of God, and then when you went to that man that taught you, he looked at you, now you're just not reading it right. That type of thing. And starts telling you you don't have the right Bible. My Bible says this. You be a Bible believer. That's what you should be. Don't let anybody else tell you anything. You study that Bible yourself, because you know why? You have to stand and prove unto God. You can't drag me with you. I deny every inch of the way. Yeah. But look, when you're dealing with people and have witness opportunity, this sometimes comes in handy, because they say, hey, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't take this. Well, here's a guy that took it and still went to die and go to hell. Judas took it and still went to hell. Notice that the supper took place before Judas left. That is important, and it is handy to recognize. Verse 20. What we just read, verse 20. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which shed for you. If they are taking the bread and the cup after supper, then it indicates that they had a Passover supper, and then after supper they did that communion, if you want to talk about. The Bible talks about a supper and a table. You know, a lot of people get bent out of shape saying, hey, we want to have a supper first, and then we can break. Oh no, we got to break, we got to do this before we eat supper. Well, Paul talks about, hey, you had your houses to eat in, because they was coming there wanting to do the communion and probably eating everything else up before they could, you know. You don't know anybody like that. I do. When you read the verse, it indicates that two things were separate. Verse 15, he says, he said unto you, with a desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. John 19, you're in John, right? Okay, go John 19. I got a few more verses I want to share. Yes.
That Luke scripture you just read, now, in order for him to truly fulfill all prophecy, he had to shed his blood on the actual Passover when they were actually
preparing
all the sheep.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is before that, of course. Yeah.
What Ken is sharing, I've been racking my brains the last several days, because when we do a Resurrection Day service, which the world calls Easter, you know, I have no problem with showing you when he died. But I started looking at this, and if you try to put things in chronological order, you'll pull your hair out. And something, you will. You're like, man, I just can't understand this. So, you know, if I get it wrong as we go down through here, I'm challenging you to look at it and say, hey, okay, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? I'm a student of the Bible too, okay? Got me? I don't know everything. The Word of God, the answer's there. And I talked to a lot of preachers this week over this. If we get down to it, I hope we will. Look, John 19, verse 14. John 19, 14. And it was the preparation of the what? Passover. And about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, behold your what? Now, what would the sixth hour be on a Jewish? No, on a Jewish.
11 p.m.
The sixth hour. 6 o'clock to 9. You know, so you just reverse that. It's noon. It's the sixth hour of that morning, of that day, not at night. Where is he at? Look at verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Verse 31. You got to see this. The Jews therefore, because it was the what?
Preparation.
Preparation of what? That's what it's for, isn't it? It's not the preparation to get his body off the grave and prepare it and get it in the grave. Didn't you remember last week when Mary took that anointment and poured over his head? She prepared him for his burial. And when the first day of the week came, which is Sunday, and they went in to put the anointments on the Lord Jesus Christ, where was he at? He was gone. So nobody prepared his body like they were supposed to other than Mary. And look, verse 31, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. What does it say? For that Sabbath day was a high day. First day of the seven-day feast of the unleavened day bread. Remember when I said, you know when the Jewish Sabbath days are? Friday night. The Saturday. Friday p.m. to Saturday p.m. Can't get around it. It's not Sunday. Man changed it and said, called this Sabbath day. Okay? Then there was a high Sabbath. They had two Sabbaths then. And when we read in Matthew, he don't call it Sabbath. He calls it the Passover. And you talk about the day's unleavened bread. Then you had a day, Passover, that, and then this way I look at it. Okay? You had the Passover, it starts on, let's keep reading. Passover was on the 14th day. You find that in Exodus chapter 12, and you find it in Leviticus 23. It tells you exactly what to do. The 10th day of month, this sounds like a Resurrection Day message, don't it? Because this is something you should know. On the 10th day of month, is April, they look at it, they went out in the field and found an unblemished lamb. And then they brought it in and they held it for 4 days.
Examine
it, make sure it's okay. Then on that 14th day was the Passover. That's when they killed it and prepared it to eat. And this is what's weird to me, because it's 14th day. It starts at 6 o'clock p.m. And it goes all night long. And then that day, the Lord Jesus Christ dies on the cross. Right here. That's before the Passover meal. So they eat the Passover right here. The days of the unleavened bread. And there's verses that talks about the Passover and the feast days as one. Stay with me. Believe me, stay with me. Talking about losing sleep and all that stuff. But look, when Christ dies, according to John 19, he dies on the day of the preparation day, doesn't he? That's what it says. And which would be on the 14th of the month. And I'm looking at this, and I'm challenging you guys too, and whoever's listening. I always thought that there was a preparation before the Passover. You know, like they would kill it on the 13th and prepare it, and that night they would have it ready to eat the meal. But I can't find that nowhere, you know.
So you said in verse John 19:31 that day of preparation is preparation for the Passover, is what you're saying? So I'm reading it as the preparation for that special high day.
Okay. Now that see, you can look it that way, but he says, I'm going to eat the Passover meal with you. And when was the Passover meal eaten? The day after the Passover started? So I know there's an answer here, you know, and it is. So these are some things that some preachers steer away from. They will not preach anything that would confuse you. And I hope I'm not confusing you. I hope I'm challenging you to say, hey, there's an answer here, and there is an answer.
Is it possible? I mean, you read in Luke 23:54 and on, and that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with it from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested Sabbath day according to the commandment. It's almost like there was a day they could do stuff in between two Sabbaths. So I've heard that talked about too.
But look,
is that a bigger wrench?
Well, it might be tightening a little better. But look, the 15th day and the 22nd day were Sabbath days, and they're holy days. Stay with me right here a minute. Notice when Christ dies, according to John, he dies on the day of the preparation. The day of the preparation. Which would probably be the 14th of the month. Because you think about it. They're going out. They kill the lamb. And they prepare it. And then they eat the supper. And if that high Sabbath day that you're talking about, he could have prepared on the 14th. And they ate that special Passover meal right here, and then they took off, and then the regular Sabbath comes.
When you read in Mark 16:1, it says concerning the same story about spices with the women, and when the Sabbath was passed, they went out and bought these spices. So there's one passed, and yet there's another one coming because they can't go to the tomb on that day, which is the standard weekly Sabbath.
Well, after Saturday, after that night. The first Saturday night, what we call Saturday night at 6 o'clock,
was the weekly Sabbath.
Starts to Sunday.
Yeah.
And that morning Sunday, they saw him. So they had it maybe that evening after the regular Sabbath. They went to prepare the first day of the week. I know. But look, let's keep going. That the day will not go out. That's the day they're supposed to go out and kill the lamb. The 14th, and prepare it stuff. And that evening was between the 14th and the 15th, sundown, 6 o'clock. And we know how the Jews count back. See, they count, it's opposite what we do. So you know how sometimes when the Word of God don't make sense to you? You ever notice that sometimes? Like, man, I just don't understand this verse. Because we have our own mind trying to figure it out. So the 14th day would have been over at 6 p.m., that evening, the next day, and then the 15th day was that special Sabbath day, that high Sabbath day. And they would eat the Passover meal in the evening between the 14th and the 15th day. But they killed the Passover lamb on the what? The 14th. That's why when the Lord God, he was the Lamb of God slain before the what? Foundations of the world. He died exactly when he needed to die. But what's throwing me off once again is when did he eat the meal? Because guess what? If you had the 14th and 15th, the night between, the 14th starts, and here we go. We try to figure out what in the world's going on. But Luke 22:15, and I'm getting very close here, and we can pick this up another. They are to eat the Passover meal in the evening, according to Exodus 12 and Leviticus 23. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, with desire, I have desired to eat the Passover with you. And does he eat a supper with them? So he eats a special supper with them. And here's another thing I'm thinking, well, did he just break a law? You know, didn't he say, I'll come and fulfill all the laws? Everything. So, you know, in my little pea brain, 8 ounces of gray matter, you know, I'm thinking, oh my, what's going on there? But he suffered. He says he's going to eat before he what? Suffers. Can he eat with them on the evening of the 15th? Can he eat with them after he dies for them to prepare the supper?
No.
So he's telling them, I'm going to suffer. So he eats with them on the night of the 14th, but he calls it what? Passover. He calls it Passover. I'm going to leave off there, but let's see if I got here on here.
You're the one that made the rule and you can change it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm getting at. You know, you think about all this stuff. But next time we pick up, we're going to talk a little bit about the night, the evening, the night, the cock crow. That evening he eats a meal at 6 to 9. 9 o'clock he goes out in the garden. And what does he ask his disciples to do? Just stay up with me. Have you ever been up and after you ate a meal, late night meal, and it comes around 11 o'clock? Are you wild? Are you... No wonder they went to sleep. And then 12 to 3, and the cock crows. You'll deny me 3 times when the cock crows. That's that night there. Then in the morning, guess what the priests and stuff do? Come in there, don't they? Judas says, here he is. The Lord Jesus Christ had been up all that day, all that night, and all that day before he died. You know, to me, I'm like, and we complain that we have to work, drive 36 hours to get home. But, you know, that to me, but also I wanted to show, and we will pick up next time, about drinking the blood. I don't know why I didn't cover it, but Genesis 9, there, before the law in Genesis, it says you don't drink blood. With the law, it says you don't drink blood. And after the law, in grace, you don't drink blood. So, you know, I know these strange traditions in these countries, that blood sausage, what is it, blood pudding? I'm thinking, how? Not me. Father, we do thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us freely in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.